الأولى ولا تستسلموا الأغلبية الأولى.
هذا خطر فعل أتكلم عنه.
This is where, and the airport wasn't any
different.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Expert Talks shows. This webinar is a part of Corporate Social Responsibilities of Falcon City of Wonders. Please welcome with me Mr. Al-Harith Al-Musa, the Vice Chairman of Falcon City of Wonders. Mr. Al-Harith, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jassim. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Dr. Isa Al-Bastaki and His Excellency Khilfan Bulhul on dedicating some of their precious time to give back to the community from their knowledge and experience and share with us this corporate social responsibility in sharing knowledge, ideas, and experiences. So thank you very much, Dr. Isa. Thank you very much, Your Excellency. And I hope all the viewers and listeners benefit from what we are going to share today. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Mr. Al-Harith. And kindly, please welcome with me His Excellency Khilfan Bulhul, the CEO of Dubai Future Foundations. Mr. Bulhul, welcome. And we are so excited and keen to hear from you today. Welcome, Mr. Bulhul.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you, Jassim, and great meeting you and an honor to be here today with my dear friend Al-Harith Al-Musa. And also my dear friend, Dr. Isa Al-Bastaki, a driver of education, innovation, and the future. And thank you, Al-Harith, again for bringing us all together in this lovely gathering. And I'm honored, and like you said, more than happy to share our experience. And I'm sure that I'll be learning from this discussion from the esteemed panelists and moderator, and it will be a fruitful discussion, inshallah. So honored to be here.
Thank you, Mr. Bulhul. And as Mr. Bulhul mentioned, today we have Dr. Isa Al-Bastaki, the president of University of Dubai. Dr. Isa, we are so keen and we are so proud to have you today. Dr. Isa, welcome.
Thank you very much. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulullah Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Thank you, Your Excellency, for being here, and I'm privileged to be here. Mr. Khilfan Bulhul, and thank you, Your Excellency Al-Harith Al-Musa, and also thank you very much. You are my friends, my dear friend, Mr. Jassim Al-Bastaki. This session will be interesting because we are going to talk about today and tomorrow.
True.
Tomorrow is in front of me, Mr. Khilfan Bulhul. So let's see what will happen tomorrow, and we'll start from today to build for tomorrow.
Let's see. Dr. Isa and everyone today, they are looking to us, and I can say something here. By definitions, no one can confirm how the future will look like, but each one of us care, and sometimes there are worries about his, her future. And a part of our future is our career, is our job. And nobody can know exactly which kind of job will be today or futures and which kind of job will be disappear. Therefore, I would like to start with Mr. Bulhul, the CEO of Dubai Future Foundations. Before starting talking about the future, and we would like to know what exactly Dubai Future Foundation is and what is the Dubai Foundation Academy.
Thank you very much again, Jassim. I'll be very brief, hopefully, to send out a message. And let me take this opportunity as well to wish everyone to be at the safest in those challenging times. and hopefully everyone gets vaccinated. Highly recommend it. I just got my second dose yesterday, feeling great. So recommending that, definitely it's a push from leadership, and it's all for the health and well-being of our people and for the world. So wishing everyone to be safe and well during those challenging times. Now, the Dubai Future Foundation, in a nutshell, just maybe reflects the entrepreneurial mindset of our leaders. So before even talking about the Dubai Future Foundation, if you think about the UAE and if you think about the formation of this country and how it has evolved, you'll realize that it has been a test bed, and it has been, it's actually an entity a nation that's less than 50 years old, but people tend to underestimate what has happened throughout those 50 years old. Maybe people around the world will underestimate the fact that in less than, or in 50 years plus, this nation was dependent on pearl trading. And after that, with God's blessing and the discovery of oil, there was a main source of income for this nation. But then the country didn't stop. They made big bets through the founding fathers, the late founding fathers, His Highness Sheikh Zayed bin Sultan and Sheikh Rashid bin Saeed, rahmatullah alayhum. They took big bets in this nation in the desert, and they built ambitious master plans, opposing global consultants, because they had that entrepreneurial DNA in them. And this is what has taken the nation from pearl traders to dependent on one source of income, to suddenly in a discussion like this, led by my dear friend Al-Harith, talking about the future, talking about technology, talking about blockchain, and that's all in a span of less than 50 years old. So 50 years. So it gives you an example of how leaders think here. Now, the Dubai Future Foundation is no difference. It was a seed of vision that His Highness has saw as an opportunity in the World Government Summit, which is a gathering that we all know. It's an annual gathering, very similar. I'm explaining a bit for our audience. It's a Davos-like gathering, but Davos World Economic Forum is predominantly focused on economies and less government. So it's more corporate with a touch of government, whereas the government summit is the opposite. Government with a touch of corporate. And there was a small exhibition there actually called the Museum of the Future. And throughout that museum, delegations used to go and through an immersive experience, witnessing how Dubai is thinking about the global future challenges. So topics like artificial intelligence, blockchain, future of robotics and human interaction, different topics. And that the discussions that, the high level discussion that happened in that small exhibit, while His Highness had passed by, he realized that this dialogue is beyond the small exhibit in a summit. We need to, in Dubai and the UAE, to institutionalize future foresight and set an example for the world, because he saw that importance in the dialogue between government leaders and executives from all over the world. So that seed of vision was planted on that day in 2016, where His Highness wanted to institutionalize a future foresight and announced the Future Foundation, chaired by His Highness Sheikh Hamdan, the Crown Prince, and the Chairman of the Executive Council, and now also the Chairman of Board of Trustees of Dubai Future Foundation. And its main mandate is to promote and push Dubai to be a leading city of the future. So there was a vision, there was a seed, and it was for us to figure out how to institutionalize it, because it wasn't something that you can easily benchmark around the world. Future foundations are non-existent. So it was the vision was thrown to us, and then we had to figure out how to create that story. And then we simply, after several workshops and brainstorming sessions, we realized that the vision of the Dubai Future Foundation lies within the quotes of His Highness, which is "Al-mustaqbal sayakun liman yastati' takhayyuluhu wa tasmimuhu wa tanfidhuhu." For we picked the three keywords: at-takhayyul, wat-tasmim, wat-tanfidh. Imagine, design, and execute. And they became our compass at the Dubai Future Foundation. Imagination is how we imagine the future. We get people to be curious, do research, and understand. And out of that thinking, we blew up that small exhibition in the summit into, inshallah, the most iconic building, which is right behind me. I'm not sure if you can see it, the Museum of the Future, to basically create a bigger image of that small exhibit, which is a unique value proposition, because people are used to typical museums that promote things that grow more in value as they get older. Here it's the other model where you need to present futuristic products, but the challenging component of it is that those products will become obsolete really quickly because they'll become non-futuristic very soon due to the nature of the fourth industrial revolution. Anything you buy now is obsolete by 6 months. So we need to be very smart in how we change the content and keep it exciting. And then obviously the other four verticals in the foundation are research. Research is important in order for you to claim that you are aware of what's going to happen next. As you mentioned in the beginning, foresight is very hard to detect. The unknowns are huge, especially as you go more into the future, but we need to back it up by thorough studying. And then our second vertical is how we spread that content through different platforms. Our third vertical is how do we educate people about the future through the Dubai Future Academy, courses related to future reskilling, future technologies, but even to the extent of changing the mindsets of individuals to ensure that they adapt to the change and accept the change. And obviously, so much support that we will be getting from Dr. Issa in this. Not only that, but even in our fourth vertical, which is building innovation ecosystems, which includes incubators, accelerators, funding mechanisms to promote new ideas that are innovation-driven. We had so much support as well from Dr. Issa in our 10X program there. He was one of the judges, and he was one of the shrewd judges there. So entrepreneurs used to fear him and love him at the same time, which created an amazing excitement for them. And his fingerprints are all over that project. So it's from design, imagine, design, and execute, research, content dissemination, education, and building innovation ecosystems. That's a quick summary. I don't want to take much of the session's time, but more than happy to discuss it offline.
Thank you, Bilal. I mean, there's a lot job behind the Dubai Future Foundations. To be honest, when I'm hearing this from you, I think there's a lot of job behind it, a lot of visions behind this foundations. And as we are talking today about the career of the futures, and we are glad to have Dr. Issa, the president of University of Dubai. Dr. Issa, from the education point of view, how the student can know exactly about the job is good for them, which type of research that they need to do to study accordingly and to reach to that job which will fit them. In general, doctor, I'm not talking about the future right now, talking in general.
Yeah, thank you very much. What Mr. Khalfan was saying was music to my ears. I wanted him to continue to talk about it because this is very, I love it actually. Future Foundation is one of the best projects in Dubai. I love it, and I'm always there to support as much as I can. You see, if you look at, again, I go back to the history in 1971 when it was formed, the UAE, especially Allah irhamu, Sheikh Zayed and Sheikh Rashid, they sat together and then designed the future of UAE through the unity, and that's how it started. When I look at history, why I'm saying so, because at that time we didn't have any university, and in 1976, the UAE sent the largest batch ever in the history of UAE to the United States. That was batch of 97. I was one of them, and we were in one plane only. That was one plane going. We were 35 students in one plane. Alhamdulillah, it reached, otherwise we'd have lost 35 of us. It was in the 11th of September, 1976. There was a vision from the beginning. Why they sent us all? We were not 35, we were more than hundreds, I think, we were sent to the United States. Why was that decision made before even starting university in the country? And in 1976, there was a decree to start the United Arab Emirates University, and then they started in 1977. So there was a vision, clear vision. They need to make sure that to strengthen the education sector in UAE. And that's where the power came. And now, because of that, we can see most of that batch right now, they're all leading all the organizations in the country. I can name them. Many of them are leading from that same batch in the same plane. This shows that education is very important. It builds the country. All the developed countries, one of the main criteria that they have, or the traits that they have, is the education is very strong and very has quality in the education. So in 50 years, we did what we did, which no other country in the world had done it. We have reached to a point that we really are proud to say that we are in a country that leaders work hard to make sure that the people in the country are living well, are happy, the betterment, plus planning for the future to be also in the betterment. Now, once we started the 2020, now we are looking at 50 years from now. We're not planning for 5 or 10 or 20 years. We're planning for 50 years, plus there's another plan for 2017. That's another plan already started from now. So education is the main thing. But now the speed, the pace that the technology is moving towards future is disruptive. Once it's disruptive, a student when it comes to university, they have to understand what is there for them in 4 years from now. So one, if you want to graduate somebody from now at the university, we have to plan for the next 4 years. Today, they'll graduate after 4 years. So when a student comes in, the job of the school, first of all, is to have an advising system that will tell them to understand what they want to do. First of all, if I have a student coming to me personally asking, what is it for me? What should I study? For me, I'll not say what we have in the future or what we have now. I'll tell him, first of all, what do you like to be? Then the student will respond to me. Secondly, I ask, what subjects do you like? Thirdly, I ask, what is it that you're competent in? And the last but not the least, do you know anything about the market now and future and 4 years? These four answers, I can amalgamate the whole idea of that person, and I can then advise him. So to advise a student, it's very important to understand all these elements, all these traits, so that to say, this is now what you have to do. For us, university, to make the student come to the university, we have to think of the future. Every discipline is required now, even after 50 years. But it changes the way it deals with technology changes. Before it was finance, now it's fintech. Before it was legal, it could be then legal tech or leg tech. So technology will be everywhere. But one thing we have to make the student understand, which is the last one I'm talking about. Do you know anything about the UAE strategy, innovation strategy 2015? This is where the student can plan for the future. Because you know, the UAE innovation strategy 2015 is in 7 sectors. These sectors means we have to make sure that all of us can serve the 7 sectors in order to achieve the goals and the visions of the leadership, of the leaders. And of course, they are in 7 sectors. What are they? Transportation, health, education. We have water resources. We have renewable energy, space, and technology. So 7 of them. The last one, technology, connects to all the other 6. So for us to go to the future in these 6 sectors, we need to make sure we are strong in technology. And this is where I like maybe to send, just show you one quick slide.
Please, doctor, feel free.
Yes, okay. We call it the 4th industrial revolution. What are the elements of this revolution? From here, we can look at the jobs of the future. And the student can understand exactly what we require for the future. Everything has in business, in law, in literature, in any marketing, in anything you look at, they all have these elements. Of course, Okay. Blockchain is the main element, one of them. Then we go into Internet of Things. Internet of Things has a requirement of, for us to be in IP version 6. These are the two elements which will be the future of all the technologies. And this is the reason why we need to understand it carefully. And there are many jobs in these, just Internet of Things. Then you go to big data. We need data analysis, we need analytics, we need scientists. And University of Dubai, we have master's degree in data sciences. Then we talk about artificial intelligence, where we have a minister in artificial intelligence. This is what we are planning for the future. Virtual reality and augmented reality. Then we go to robotics, and you go into biotechnology, nanotechnology, cloud computing, and 3D printing. I can't see it, but 3D printing. The last but not the least is the technology of all technology, which is the 5G communications. This is where the disruption has happened. It's not these other technologies, but it's the 5G. And 5G will create all these technologies because of so many characteristics and traits that has it. And of course, green economy. You know that Dubai is the headquarters for World Green Economy Organization. And I am the chairman of the board of Academia and Youth Platform of Green Economy. That means in future we'll have also green jobs. Means green building. We'll have lawyer. We have green building. We have green business. We have green tech. Everything will be green, and this where harvesting the energy will come into being. The new jobs will come in. And of course, this is a part of the fourth industrial revolution. So a student should understand everything, but please don't be what your parents was, except you want to be what your parents wanted. And you can be, if I'm strong in math, I'm not strong in math, why do I take engineering? So I need to understand my capabilities, my passion, and the market, and the future of the market. So I think this is what I like to convey my message.
Thank you, doctor. And what I noticed that the students, they need to read about their country strategy, then they will be able to choose the right path to go about it. And I like the way you mentioned about the green job. I hope we can have a green businessman like Mr. Al-Harith. That's why I would like to ask Mr. Al-Harith as a green businessman and as you are a businessman, what the challenges for you facing when you're looking to the talent, honestly?
If we take what His Excellency Khalfan and Dr. Isa said all together, and then we try to think about the future and the future of jobs, it's very hard in the current marketplace to find people who are aware about these specific pillars of the future jobs due to the fact that it is new. And as Khalfan mentioned, it is very fast paced. And to be ahead of competition, to be ahead of the market, you always have to have, as Dr. Isa said, these disruptive ideas. And to get the disruptive ideas, you have to have the right team. And this is one of the major challenges that we find in the market when we are trying to look for job seekers who can be in value added for the company. As they said, it's not what your company can do for you, it's what you can do for your company. And we would always like to have a person who has the information that the others do not have, who has the experience that the others do not have, so that we can overcome a certain situation using technology, using new ideas, using new tactics to reach to our ultimate goal, which is at the end of the day, increase our revenue, decrease our cost of sales and expenses.
Indeed, Mr. Al-Harith, and I need to ask Mr. Bilhol. You said that one part of your Dubai Foundation is a research, and there's a lot of research going on. Could you please tell us if there's any research being done about the jobs in Dubai or Dubai jobs market, how it will look like in future?
Thank you, Jassim, and I agree with the comments mentioned previously by Dr. Isa, very valuable, and what is mentioned by Khoui Al-Harith. I think, let's even, regardless of the research, Khoui Jassim, I think the biggest learning curve for us to see what's coming in the future is what we have faced in 2020. This is beyond research for us. Yeah, and what has happened has indicated to us where we are heading and what's needed in the future in a very fast-paced way that, يعني رب ضارة النافعة, there are good things that come out where we have understood things much faster than if we were going through our typical desktop research and even applied research, but we've actually witnessed it. And I think jobs are dependent in the future on a few things. One is, and Dr. Isa tapped into it while he was discussing. So we have existing imperative industries that will be there regardless. So education is a need, healthcare is a need, commerce is a need, banking and finance is a need. Those will change, but they got disrupted massively through the pandemic. What has happened is people started to work from home, people started to learn from home. The solutions with technologies, e-commerce flew in quantum leaps. Does this mean we're not going to go shopping? Of course we will go shopping, but we will go shopping in a different way going forward. Purchasing will probably be more online, but we are human beings. We like to interact. We'll go out. So the experience in the brick and mortar shops will still be there, but it will change. On I personally, and I've mentioned this in a talk a few days ago, I personally go to the whenever I'm going shopping, I'll go to the brand that I want to buy something from. I'll select the product, but I might not buy it then. I'll go home, but I'll buy it from them. So their revenue, it will not impact it. I'm buying it from them simply because I just don't want to walk and carry bags, right? And the service is so much easier. But you still want to go and experience and interact. So this is one example. E-commerce as well, the online banking and those solutions disrupted. Education and the I won't go above Dr. Isa, he's the master in this, but he's witnessed it and how education can be disrupted through borderless learning going forward. Maybe in our days, the luxury of going to Boston to study, because first of all, the options were less in my at my age. That's why Dr. Isa Shawab. Back in the days, there were maybe a handful of universities. Now, mashallah, fadl min Allah. The push from leadership, there's so many options in the UAE. But we went there, we flew there because we wanted to seek education. Right now, education comes to you with a click of a button from top tier professors from all over the world, which means that you need to also education disrupt. Does this mean universities will not have human interaction? Absolutely important as well. That's part of our nature. And this has to be part of it, but there will be a disruption. So my point is that the future existing imperative structures will, industries got disrupted, and we will have to adapt to that going forward. So that's one side. But then there's also the introduction of new components of the fourth industrial revolution that Dr. Isa had tapped into. The impact of AI, the impact of robotics, the impact of 3D printing. Those are introduction of new industries and sectors that we need to also embrace and create an environment for, because whether we like it or not, this is part of our future. We cannot deny it. We cannot stick to previous jobs and say we still want to potentially drive cars and not rely potentially in the future on driverless cars when they become handy. It's like, it reminds me of the days when first elevators got invented, there was always a human being in the elevator to ensure that people are comfortable in using it. Same thing with the metro. If you speak to His Excellency Muhtar Tahir, he'd tell you that there had been individuals just to keep, even though the metro is autonomous, but they wanted to get people comfortable to those new technologies. So we need to embrace those changes in the future. And just to go back to your point about occupation, but prior to that, the biggest role in this is how agile the governments are in adapting those, because it's not only about financing those ideas, it's also about how you create the most agile environment to help those ideas and skills grow within your ecosystem. Changing regulations in favor of innovation, supporting them through accelerators, through funding mechanisms, venture capital. It's an emerging asset class in the region. We need to raise comfort here. We're so proud of a few exits that happened, the Kareems, the Souks, there's other, but we need to create more of those. But what that means is that, if you allow me to twist maybe the occupation that's mentioned in the question, but rather focus on the skills that are needed. And the skills are mainly related to things that are related to analytical thinking, active learning, complex problem solving, creativity. Those are the things, leadership, social influence, those soft skills as well are extremely important in the future. And as we interact more with technology, we need not to forget that we are humans at the end of the day, and we are the core of this whole world. So we need to understand how we can interact with each other with this positive invasion of technology, if you will. I'm positive, and I know there's positivity, there's pros and cons of technology, but we need to be positive and embrace the value, the positivity that can come out of it, and mitigate the risk that can come out of the misuse of technology, especially with the involvement of artificial intelligence. And obviously the biggest keyword here as I wrap up is data. Data, as everyone says, is the new oil. Because, and why is that? Because as much as you feed AI data, it becomes more effective. And then how can you become more collaborative with the world to create a very collaborative and inclusive structure with data? The more we unite as a world, the more efficient we can be. And this clearly has been proven within the global pandemic. Unfortunately, the globe was not as united as we wanted to be across to ensure that we defeat this pandemic in the best way possible. But alhamdulillah, the UAE has proven to set an example to the world by even taking major financial risks to raise awareness and lock down and impact financially negatively the country, but for the sake of the health and well-being of the people. But this is not sustainable. So after a few weeks or months, the lockdown has been opened and the trust and the responsibility has been handed over to the people. And then you walk around the street and you see people wearing masks all over the place as a sign of respect for that period of time. So I know I jumped out of the topic, but the simple answer to your question is all those creative skills, analytical thinking, active learning, complex problem solving, understanding technologies, but also the leadership skills and social skills are extremely important for the future.
Skills, it's needed. And I believe the skills can't come without educations. You need to develop the educations to be able to develop the skills. That's why I need to ask Dr. Issa, how can the higher education prepare the students for the jobs that do not even exist yet? How you be able to convince them? I'm sure there's a lot of challenges that from education to convince or to explain to the student to choose that path, for example. And you will tell them that's what will come after 5 years from now. You're on mute, doctor.
Yeah, I think it's a very difficult question. The reason is, first of all, we don't prepare students for jobs. We prepare students for two things, either jobs or employers. And this is where it came. We have signed an agreement with Dubai Future Foundation to start innovation entrepreneurship free zone in the University of Dubai, so that those who have the capability to become entrepreneurs, they can be incubated in the university and be licensed And soon after that license, they will graduate as employers and not only employees. So actually we have two goals. One is employers and one is employees. To prepare a student for the future job, one of the things key, I will give you some statistics just to, I'll read some statistics to tell you why I'm giving this statistics. Emerset research program said the study shows that around 47% of organizations surveyed do not possess correct technology skills and pressing on the idea to outsource everything. This means that even the other ones, it says, Gartner said that 75% of IT projects may take twice as long as they should because of the shortage of these talents. So the industry is also not ready. So university's job is not only to prepare the student, but also to prepare the industry. If I graduate somebody in IoT or in artificial intelligence or big data, well, big data turn to small data later, by the way, coming small data, maybe layers and you get small data. So that's the future also. So we have to prepare them before we prepare the graduate, because the student should be prepared to a job that's available if he's going for a job. If he's not going for a job, he'll be an entrepreneur. So our job is also through executive development, we need to go to the industry and develop the skills so that they could have those kind of jobs that can be accommodated from the graduates. Because a lot of people, the students who graduate, don't get jobs. The reason is the market is not ready for them yet. Or it is saturated, one of the two. Saturated is the worst thing to do, but if it's not ready, that's even, it's the worst. So we need to prepare the industry. We are talking about 50 years from now. Will we build our own, or we'll still buy the technology from abroad? We are buying, till now we're buying technology from abroad. There are some good initiatives, some good projects that are producing and we are selling it to the world, but it's not enough. So students should be ready first to make sure that he or she is ready to, after 4 years to graduate. We need to understand the future, but we need to study the future. And future study is not that difficult. We are not predicting the future, but we are building our decisions on science. You know, in programming, there's always if and then. What if and what then? Once we plan for a future, we have scenarios. Scenario one, if this happens, this is a solution we have. If this happens, this is a solution we have. So we go into scenarios and we have to study it in the university. By the way, we have also Center for Future Studies, University of Dubai, that we do that. We serve the community, by the way. We're working with Future Foundation, Ministry of Education, and also with the World Green Economy Organization. So we need to study the future by looking at the signals, the weak signals, the strong signals, and put scenarios accordingly. We go to the future. And then we plan our majors. But one thing is important. In UAE, an example, the government universities, they are supported by the government, but the private sector is not. I think if you want to push for right education, you need to support even the private universities. I mean, the quality universities I'm talking about, because the future is what they produce. The future is what they plan for learning. So if they don't support the private university, we have only few government universities in the country. We need more of them. So I think support should be. If I want to open a degree in University of Dubai, I can't, except if I make sure I do the due diligence, I do the feasibility study, and then say, okay, I can open it or not. But if I have support from somewhere, I can from now open a degree that in 4 years, I'll graduate the new job that will be coming. But our job is not only employees to graduate, but also employers. This is where we are cooperating with the Bay Future Foundation. We have research labs. We are cooperating with Mohammed Rashid Space Center. We have Space and Life for Dubai Electronic Security Center. All these are done so that our students can be exposed to research, to future. And also we have crypto labs incubation that they will incubate these ideas of the students to become future entrepreneurs.
Dr. Issa, you mentioned it about the employer. So I would like to ask Mr. Al-Harith. He's an employer. He's a businessman. I need, from your point of view, Mr. Al-Harith, what is the expectation of the job market in coming 10 years from the employer point of view, from a businessman point of view?
But before we get into that, Jassim, I was very carried away with what Dr. Issa said. And I would like to point a question to Dr. Issa. Dr. Issa, you said in the beginning that to advise a student on what career path to move forward with, you would ask the student a few questions like, what would you like to be? And what he or she are competent in. Now, a lot of those students who would finish high school and join university do not have any idea of the different jobs, let's say, in the market. Leave entrepreneurship aside right now. They do not have a deep knowledge, or at least a general knowledge about a specific role. What is the job of a lawyer? What is the job of a engineer? So on and so forth. So don't you think there needs to be a transition stage between high school and university, maybe something like a 6-month process where high school students go and experience firsthand what happens in a consultancy and architectural firm, what happens in a legal firm, what happens in a...
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. First of all, when I interview a student, I want to decide what he can do and what the market is there for him or her. Maybe he is excellent in math, but he likes to be and go into literature. So I need to build the information from that person to guide him to go to the right path. The right path means that he or she will be successful in the education path, plus he will have a place for him to be either an employee or to be an employer. So this is the thing we are looking at. Now your question says, if the student doesn't know the future, the question was, can I?
If the student that graduated from high school has no experience, yes, in the different jobs available in the market, yes, how can he or she choose and say, I would like to go into that specific sector? Yeah. Don't you think it is our responsibility to introduce these sectors to them so they would come back to us and tell us, this is what I would like to do more than this?
Yes, I think that's why this interview comes in. I can help the student to draw the right choice. But regarding your question, and we don't need a transition period. Already the period is there, grade 9, 10, 11, and 12. In these 3 years, we need to build that, to instill in him or her the right information and to put a mindset for what he or she can be in the future. And to know the details of everything. But one thing good happened at the Ministry of Education, believe me, what they are doing in the Corona era, they have done excellent job in so many things. Absolutely. One of them is they have asked every university if they can have at least minimum of two courses to be given to students for free. They can take it for credit, but they don't pay anything. And that credit could be transfer to any university. They come to University of Dubai, but once they finish the two courses, they can go to Zayed University. The credit will be there. Why they come? They want them to get involved in the new life of the academia. There they can mingle with other students, with the professors, and get ideas. And because there the environment is different, and from there they can learn actually what to choose when they come. So these courses are general, they are not specific, they're general courses. We call it university requirement courses. I think this is an excellent initiative. We already had two courses, we gave it to the students, and we'll continue doing that. This is a good step, but also in schools, other than that, we need good advisors, academic advisors, that can actually build the career from beginning when they finish the school. They will know what they want to choose. They can change, by the way. Once, when I said, if I love something, that doesn't mean I have to take it. I may love literature, I don't know anything, Arabic language, I don't know anything about grammar. Then you have to go to other things. So we need to understand the whole thing. And this should come from the school. The university's job is to just add more to that to make sure that they have chosen the right path.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
Now, just, back to you, Mr. Harith.
Well, what was the question?
I was waiting for that. You're not trying to run away from my question, Mr. Harith. As a businessman and from the employer point of view, what is the expectation of the job market it's coming in 10 years?
Well, I cannot predict where it is going, Jasim, but what I can tell you for sure is a few years ago, not very far, when Microsoft Word and PowerPoint and Excel was something new, all the employers were looking for employees who had the experience in these specific programs. You know how to type? How many words do you type per minute? So on and so forth. These are very primitive questions right now. Right now, you assume that any person applying for a job has these skills tucked under their belt. But what Dr. Issa mentioned earlier today, and also His Excellency, my brother Khalfan, said about the fourth industrial revolution. People have to educate themselves with where this industrial revolution is going and how is it moving forward and where is the spearhead of the whole revolution getting its thrust from, to understand how the landscape of future jobs are going to change. And if the people do not educate themselves and they do not be up to date, they will simply be obsolete, in my point of view. And no one wants an obsolete person on their team. They always want a person who can add value, who can bring new ideas, and who can make, because at the end of the day, a team is only as strong as the weakest link in the chain. And no one wants to be that weakest link. And the only way to increase your strength is by knowledge, reading, attending workshops, attending seminars, meeting people like His Excellency Khalfan and Dr. Issa, and listening to their experience and gathering information of where the future is going. This is my point that I'd like to highlight, Justin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Al-Harith. Your Excellency, Mr. Bilhal, I'm going to ask you questions. It might scare everybody, but I need a honest answer.
You scared him already.
No, I'm just trying to prepare him. But I need a really honest, if there is any research on that, what the jobs will disappear in the future and why? Is there a job going to disappear and why? You're on mute, Bilhal.
Yes, I was trying. By the way, the "you are on mute" sentence apparently is the most popular sentence of 2020. And if just telling everyone, this is the sentence of 2020. And no, this is not a scary question at all. It's, I think, يعني, there have been mentioned and people are aware of them. It's wherever you believe technology and automation will take place of those jobs are at risk. Some are at risk very soon, and some are at risk later on. So if you look at things related to manufacturing, with the advancement of technology and robotics, now you go to a Tesla factory, you hardly see human beings. Obviously, the smarter technology becomes, the less human interference is required. Mobility, big risk as well with the autonomous mobility. So all those front desk, customer facing front desk for simple transactions in online and in banking, the tellers, for example, are at risk. So all those replaceable fourth industrial revolution, let's say related technologies that take their jobs are all at risk. But the good news is when those are obsolete, so many other opportunities are arised with the introduction of those technologies. So this is the nature of human being. If we, and this is what our leaders have taught us, we need to be agile, we need to switch, we need to adapt. And if you look at the balance between the jobs that are going to be obsolete and the massive opportunities that will come, you'll see that the pros outweigh the cons. It's just a matter of us adapting to those new changes. But so, like I said, it's customer facing, it's manufacturing, it's in mobility the most. And the focus on creativity, technology, and analytical thinking is what you need. But if you don't mind, I'll take the opportunity now, because I know we're running out of time, and I see interesting questions that have been popped up, and I don't want to leave any question hanging. So, and I'd love, potentially, I'm sure my fellow panelists would also have a view. But I see a first question from an anonymous attendee saying, "I'm about to get 43, and am I too old to study? And learn new things." So my friend, he or she, I just turned 43 a few weeks ago. And I think it's not about the age, it's about adapting. And you can be as young as you are or as old as you are, the mindset is what matters and the adaptation. So you can be very young and not willing to adapt and still have not be fit. And you can be at an older stage of your life, but can be agile. And so age is just a number with regards to it's how you adapt. So that's the answer to that question quickly. And the other one I see from Al-Akh Nader Al-Bastaki, who has spoke about the platforms to enable value to be exchanged regardless of borders. What are some of those platforms the government of the UAE is looking into to enable skills? That's a great question. I'm hoping you are not my colleague, Nader Al-Bastaki. The reason I'm saying I'm hoping is because he's a critical driver of the strategy department, and we have the Center of Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is a center signed and announced by His Highness Sheikh Hamdan in Davos, and it acts as one of those platforms and a node that connects the world when it comes to aligning and showcasing what kind of testing we do in Dubai. We focus right now in that center on blockchain, machine learning, and genome sequencing. And but even beyond that, and we spread that knowledge through the hub and the nodes of centers all over the world. So that's one platform which I'm sure Nader you know extremely well. But that sets an example, and as other platforms, I'm sure that my colleagues can also talk about. Lastly, I see also the idea of the uni students that can become employers. Dr. Isa has elaborated on البند السادس من الوثيقة الخمسين or the 50th charter, تحويل الجامعات إلى مناطق إبداعية وحرة, an amazing effort from Dr. Isa and his university in creating hope for entrepreneurs. And the whole idea behind this is we do not need to wait for students to become entrepreneurs after they graduate. As Dr. Isa mentioned, we see so many success stories. Mark Zuckerberg had to fight for his Facebook platform, and it affected his education because the platform wasn't there and the environment wasn't there for him. Why not do both? Work and at the same time continue your education. So those platforms are created to nurture students and help them grow in their businesses, but at the same time continue their educations. And the education through those centers includes patience, discipline, team working, problem solving skills. So it's beyond the entrepreneurial skills. And there are mentors that pass by those centers. Obviously, we're in the beginning of this. It's a testing period for all universities. We look forward to reaping the benefits of those students graduating. And then we funnel them through our different accelerator programs and create hope for them to become successful entrepreneurs, inshallah.
Thank you.
Khalfan, I think, sorry, Jassim. Khalfan, I think also to add on to the first question and the last question that was asked, I think the foundation of anything that the students would like to build on, in my personal opinion, it should be passion. They should not run after a job that only pays well, but they should actually run after their passion and then make sure that their passion pays them well. The last thing that any job seeker would want to do is find a job 8 to 5 every day that they do not enjoy for the rest of their life and then continue doing it. No, look at where your passion is, follow your passion and see and try to figure out how you can convert your passion into a money-making a program to become an employer, or if you decide to be an employee in an organization, look for an organization that has the same passion that you have and join them. Don't go against the current, go with the current and move with it forward. Because at the end of the day, we all want to live happy, and it is not worth it to continue in a job that does not bring you pleasure.
Absolutely. If you allow me to add quickly to this, not passion only, passion is absolutely imperative, as you mentioned, but also to have the resilience to accept failure. People are very hesitant, specifically entrepreneurs, and this is part of the program, the academia, and I know Dr. Isa knows this extremely well, is entrepreneurs seem to sometimes fear entrepreneurship post failing in a business, you're a businessman and you understand this as well. And the idea is that you need to create a learning curve out of that failure and continue your passion as you mentioned, because they need to understand that this is a learning curve and entrepreneurs need to go through those rough times to create the growth story that they want to achieve. So, humble advice, do not give up if the business pivots or if you fail, because failure is a success and it's a learning lesson.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Your Excellency. The failure is the success, as you mentioned. And I think both of you, Mr. Al-Harith and Mr. Bilhol, gave us a very good ending. But I would like to end it with Dr. Issa for his final advice from an education point of view. I know, Doctor, you're going to tell me educations, because you have a passion behind it, but I would like to get from you other than that.
Well, His Highness Mohammed Rashid said education and education. But I say also technology and technology.
That's what I was waiting from you, Doctor, because I know your passion from the technology.
Combine them together, and that's one thing. The other thing I'd like to ask Mr. Khalfan, I think not 10X was one of the best experience I had in my whole career of being judges to so many places and so many awards, but this one was a different one. 10X, there were 163 projects by 36 entities in Dubai government, and at the end, 25 only succeeded to be 10X. And what do you mean by 10X? Mean to be disruptive. I want them to actually talk about these 25 projects every day on television and social media. Believe me, the projects that we have seen, all 163 projects were excellent projects, but most of them are natural growth. You need to do it, you have to do it, but it's not a disruption. The 25 was a disruption. Believe me, if these 25 projects, when they are finished, you will live in a Star Trek world. Star Trek world, exactly what is in the movie Star Trek, that will happen in Dubai. But it will not happen if you only import the technologies, because it could be a stage of reaching a steady state, and then it could collapse and crash actually. To make a very simple example, Mohammed Rasha Space Center, they started to do satellites by 30% of our expert working with 70% of experts from South Korea, and they built DubaiSat 1. DubaiSat 2, it was the other way around, 70% of ours, they went there, they learned it, and had 30% from South Korea, and we went DubaiSat 2. And it came to DubaiSat 3, which is KhalifaSat. It was 100% by our UAE experts, scientists, engineers that built that whole KhalifaSat. This is what we need to work. If you want to do it right, the 10X will accelerate and will continue to accelerate without stopping if we depend on our own brains and to be made in UAE. Made in UAE will make us sustainable. Without having a made in UAE, this will not be sustainable. It will be for a while. We have the oil money. When it goes away, it will collapse. So made in UAE, sold globally. That's my motto. I like to make sure that everybody looks at it and makes UAE a sustainable economy even after 50 years.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, everyone. And allowed me to end it and by saying, nobody knows what's going to be the next. Till the future comes in reality and real, keep watching in your career. It's so important. Thank you to all being with us today and at Expert Talks. Looking forward and look forward to see you again. Stay safe and say yes to life. This is me, Jasim Albastaki at Expert Talks Shocks.
Thank you very much, Dr. Isa. Thank you very much, Khilfan.
Thank you.
Thank you.